This is the Geek News Central Podcast, bringing you the latest tech and science news, coming to you live from beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save today at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Fans, strap yourself in for a great show. Geek News Central, the longest-running tech podcast, is ready. It's showtime. It's Monday, December 16th, and this is show number 913. Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and I tell you, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that you're here. Let me give a warm welcome to all of our longtime listeners and viewers. Thanks for staying subscribed and being part of the Ohana here. We're all fired up and ready to go. We're actually starting the show just a little early tonight. That's going to kind of be the ops normal here for about the next maybe month. I'm going to try to do the show a little bit early just because my schedule is kind of allowing it and experimented a couple of times with it. So we're starting here about 6:30 Honolulu time, which is about an hour and a half earlier than normal. But if you're brand new to the show, hey, I want to welcome you to the show and take time to get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content on the website. Really, there's something there for everybody. Lots of tech news, great information for everyone to read. And we want to thank all of you that are subscribed to the website, subscribed to the podcast. And really, you can do that as well if you're brand new by following the links on the website to do that and sign up for the newsletter. But we've been having a little bit of challenges here with the internet connection. I don't know exactly what's going on, but from time to time, my internet connection has been just kind of like dropping, and we've had some trouble getting the live stream to YouTube. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed tonight that things stay good. We'll see what happens with the connection tonight. But if you're watching live, thanks for tuning in. Let me go ahead and look at my stack of stuff here. I've got, of course, you can watch the show anytime, really, on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV. You can reach me, really, 24/7 via Twitter, at Geek News, or via geeknews@gmail.com is the email address that you can reach out. And that really is the best way to connect with the show. There's several other ways to do so on the website at geeknewscentral.com. You'll find that there. But I tell you, it's been a kind of interesting week here. Extended weekend. And we've had some crazy weather here in Honolulu, just like they've been having in the mainland. A bunch of stuff got canceled yesterday because of thunderstorms and heavy rains. But it was like, Right about noon, it just like the spigot was turned off and then the sun came out. So it was like it didn't even happen. So totally bizarre. And I guess that's the way it works here in Hawaii from time to time. But we're streaming up on YouTube tonight. Keep my fingers crossed that this thing stays online and doesn't drop off. Let's see, what am I got in my stack here? Of course, this show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And we want to encourage you to take some time and check out all of our offerings at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And what you can find at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy is all my promo codes. We've got that 35% deal that was supposed to expire. I checked it here just prior to show start, and that 35% off is still good on new product orders. 35SAVE6 is the code. So great way to save some money. That was supposed to have died. That was supposed to have gone away. I don't know why it's still active. Honestly, I don't care. So keep cashing it in, okay? I know it's getting some usage over there. So definitely appreciate all of you that are saving a lot of money using that promo code. At the same time, we've got the $1.99 economy hosting for 12 months, $1.99 per month. You get a free domain with that by using the promo code HOSTOFF3. You can get a .org domain for the first year at $9.99 by using the promo code ORG4. Or you can get 30% off. Well, actually, you don't even need to use that because you got the 35% off deal. And we got one other one is the website builder. And really, the website builder makes it easy to create your own website, really put your business online and find new customers. Choose from hundreds of customizable designs. And you're on your way. Website builder includes, again, another free domain name. WSB5 is the promo code on that. So all the promo codes, again, over at geeknewscentral.com. And if you really have a hard time finding them, just scroll down the website. You'll see the GoDaddy link. Click on that, and that'll take you to all the codes that are on the website. So we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Thank all of you that are supporting us with your purchases over at GoDaddy. Hey, it's a great time to get a domain name for a Christmas present, a hosting account, get it set up for them so they get start blogging. Lots of great opportunities there. And, you know, I bought domains for all my kids, you know, and that's sometimes a bit of a challenge. But all my kids have basically name domains. So if you haven't captured those for your kids, think about doing that as well. So again, thanks to GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. Hey, you know, the Google Glass giveaway, I had received one email from this audience, got some responses on Google Plus and on Facebook. So I think we've got enough names to submit the Google Glass submissions. So we'll be basically reaching out to each of those folks and letting them know that that's going to happen. And then make sure you get those glass ordered. I actually got my notification. My replacement glass is going to come sometime just before CES. So they're going to send the container. I have to package it up and send it in, which, you know, it's actually, if I think about it, kind of a pain in the butt because I want to take glass with me to CES. So I was hoping it would come a little later, but we'll see what the restrictions are, if I have a certain amount of time to get it in and so forth. But anyway, those of you that wanted Google Glass, I think we're going to have enough to give everyone that wanted one set. So that's coming out probably tomorrow. We'll send those emails. Our crowdfunding campaign has ended. We want to thank all of you that participated. And you really automatically, you're part of being an insider here. So definitely consider sending Sam an email at insider@geeknewscentral.com. If you are one of the crowdfunding folks that were from this audience, just send Sam an email with your basically your name and your email address that you use for PayPal, and we'll look you up in the system and get you added to the insider list. So I don't know what is. I keep getting warnings from YouTube. This is going to drive me crazy if I watch this all night. There is something going on with my internet connection here. Even though it's steady, there's just something amiss. And I don't know if I've got a router going bad or something. Bad time for that to go bad because the holiday's coming on. It's hard to get replacements. Okay, so what else here in my stack? I do want to talk just a little bit about a new sponsor. And this sponsor is coming on board and will be helping us with CES as well. And I'm really excited to bring Gazelle on board as a sponsor. And I tell you, if you've got a device laying around, whether it be an iPhone, a cell phone, a tablet, you know, old computer, get paid. You know, really, it's very simple. You have to answer a few questions about your device. You ship your device, and then basically they're going to pay for shipping, and they may even offer you a free box to send it. And then they send you a either an Amazon.com gift card or PayPal. You decide. And this is an absolutely fantastic way to really get rid of that old device that you've got and recycle it. And it'll go. They'll clean it out for you so that there's nothing left in the. You know, if you haven't gone through and cleaned it completely, they'll wipe it when they get it, and then make sure none of your data is on there anymore. And then they basically, I think they resell them. But you can get hooked up and save money with Gazelle. So we want you guys to consider using Gazelle as your you know, basically is the place to save a lot of money. What's going on here, Huck? Is the internet connection so funky right now that it doesn't want to? All right, let me click on that again. Wow, that's interesting. All right, we got definitely something amiss tonight. It was last show, too, and I tracked it all down. Everything looked good. from a speed standpoint, but apparently that's not the case. But anyway, you'll find a new link tonight about from Gazelle up in the show notes. So definitely take advantage of that and save some money. And at the same time, every time you sell your device, that helps the show here at Geek News Central. Get you cash in your pocket and a little cash for Geek News Central and the TPN team as well. Okay, lots to talk about as far as CES goes. We're having, we're really kind of marching to, the launch here. We're 22 days away from the start of CES. I think we're pretty well prepared to go to Vegas at this point. I'm not even getting too overly worried about getting stuff packed up because the majority of the gear is sitting actually in Michigan. So the majority of the heavy lift will leave Michigan, I believe, on the 29th of December. And then we'll have stuff coming out of here, the TriCaster and the switchboard, the switcher and a variety of other things will actually go out a little bit later. But, I think we're pretty much set. We're going to have one final meeting this coming, actually, what is it? We're going to have it the weekend after the holiday either. Yeah, we're going to have it on the 28th. We're going to have a meeting after Christmas and definitely we'll be getting our final plannings in state. But the booking is going real well and we're definitely going to have a lot of great guests. We're really being careful this year. We're filtering. I think I've turned away about 20 already companies that, they've got things like iPhone covers or stuff that just maybe will not be that enticing. So normally the schedule would be a little more full because we just kind of schedule those folks. But this year we're watching who we're going to schedule and when. So I think it's going to be really important for our aspect to be able to present the best show to you as possible. New guest every 10 minutes from the time we start broadcasting every day to the time we quit. And there's going to be as many as 8 to 9 hours of live coverage every day. So I'm really excited. The team is excited. We're all cranked up. Sponsorship stuff is coming together, which is good. So we're definitely really excited about heading off to Vegas here at the end of the month, right after the new year for the show. But until then, we'll be on a kind of a Christmas schedule here at Geek News Central. There will be a show Monday the 23rd, but it's probably going to be very early because my mom is flying in that day. So I have to be at the airport in the evening to pick her up. About the time I start doing the show's time, I need to be at the airport. So it looks like that there's going to be a show this coming Friday, two next week, and then one on the 30th. And then from there, there will be no show the week of CES. There will be no show the week of the 3rd. So there will be about three shows that we won't have during that CES week. But that's kind of what it shapes up from a scheduling standpoint. Okay, so let's go ahead here. And I've got through my stack. Let's get through some tech news. And that's what you guys are here for. So we're going to continue to move on and make that happen. And let me close this little intro here. You guys, what do you guys think of this kind of the mix-up of the intro that I've done? I've just changed things up a little bit. A little spice to life, I guess, for a better word, for trying to get you guys a little bit excited about what's going on with the show. And let me see if I can get the link up here. There we go. I actually opened two. I didn't want to open that, so we'll close him up. So let me shut that. I'm going to close this. Okay, so first thing I'm going to talk about tonight is, man, news came out of Amazon. But Amazon has taken away the access to purchased Christmas movies during Christmas. So if you have purchased any Disney movies with Amazon, and they were Christmas genre, they're not going to let you, and this is where you pay full price for the movie, they are not going to let you have access to your movie inventory of those Christmas movies. So a gentleman said, Bill said, last December I bought some favorite Christmas specials for my kids with the idea they could watch them every year. Went tonight to watch one, and the movie was Disney Prep and Landing 2, and it was gone from our library and couldn't be found on the site at all. Amazon explained to me that Disney can pull their content at any time, and at this time, they pulled the shows for exclusivity on their own channel. In other words, Amazon sold me a Christmas special my kids can't watch during the run-up to Christmas. It'll be available in July, though. So, this is so stupid and evil of Disney. But it appears that when Amazon made a deal with Disney, that it gave them the right to revoke access to purchased videos. These are videos you have paid full price for. I'm just telling you, don't buy any Disney movies ever again online. This is ridiculous. This is simply ridiculous. Get a physical copy if you're going to buy Disney movies. Do not buy a digital copy. Do not support them in any way. To think that you have bought this with your hard-earned cash, and now they're saying, oh, so sorry, you can't have access to what you purchased. We've made it unavailable for the Christmas holiday. This is incredible. Now, they said, to be fair, the Amazon rep gave me a very generous credit to watch something else, recognizing that this is a beep policy. But at a minimum, beware. Somewhere buried in the legalese is the right for Amazon and partners to pull content away from you, even content you specifically paid for, anytime they want. About the Scrooge. We're going to call Disney the new Scrooge, right? The Scrooge that took away Christmas. I mean, I think I would be beside myself. I am beside myself, but this is just, it's just nuts. Just think if you were the, do you buy any Disney movies? Love to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. Again, geeknews@gmail.com. My wife and I were talking about solar again a couple of days ago. There's a big ad in the newspaper. And of course, we've got issues here in Hawaii about solar now. If I want to put solar on my house, I have to go through this extra step with the company, with the people that provide me electricity from a oil-burning generator. Solar power installation costs have basically fell. And they're saying that solar power in the United States this year produces much power as 10 nuclear power plants. And according, the average price of a solar panel has declined 60% since the beginning of 2001. According to GTM Research and according to Clean Technica, a website dedicated to renewable energy news, the price of solar power is now around 74 cents a watt today. As a whole, the United States installed 4.3 gigawatts of photovoltaic solar arrays this year, a 27% increase over 2012. And the reason for the big drop? Largely China. China is putting out a lot of panels. The U.S. solar industry doesn't like it. They're cheaper. But from an efficiency standpoint, they're not that far off. You know, some of the Korean panels are some of the very top rated, but the ones that are coming from China are just a little bit below, but at a much, much lower price. And if you get them at a much lower price, you can buy a couple more to make up from that efficiency standard that the solar panels have. So have to hand it to the Chinese, bringing solar power panels to the market. They're definitely causing, for a better word, competition to drive the price down, which is good, but it's still a huge amount of money to fork out to make it happen. But luckily, there's a lot of good financing now by banks and stuff that are willing to finance installs because they feel it's a pretty good bet on a return on investment. All right, moving on to the next topic here. AT&T says it can deny Google Fiber access to its poles, telephone poles in Austin, Texas. Google isn't a telecom or a cable provider. They tout themselves as a video provider, so it has to pay more for access. So basically, AT&T owns about 20% of the utility poles in Austin, with the rest of them being owned by the city. Instead of increasing congestion by adding more poles, the city council was expected to vote last week to force AT&T to allow Google Inc. use of its utility poles to install its planned high-speed Google Fiber network. The council drafted a new ordinance making it easier for communication service providers to secure poles attachments at reasonable prices. They held off on this vote until January 23rd, thinking that AT&T and Google may be able to negotiate a rental agreement for Google to hang its fiber. So this is interesting here. Now, AT&T was chided by a variety of online websites about not sharing utility poles, but in this instance, AT&T seems to be legally sound, and the current regulations require that companies with utility poles and public rights of way provide access to quote-unquote certified telecommunication providers and to TV cable companies, not video providers. So Google doesn't want to be slapped with that designation because of some of the rules that goes along and filing and paperwork and the overhead. So it's an interesting time to see how this goes out. Lots of rumors that there's going to be a storm of tablets at CES. I don't think so. I think there's just going to be a few. There's so many other venues now for announcements of new tablets, but I'm sure we're going to see a lot more of the lower-end tablets come online, maybe have a little better quality, and so on and so forth. So based on the stuff that I'm seeing coming from the PR people, health will be a big, big theme for CES, and this is why we're going to have three team members in Vegas that are strictly going to be focusing on the health aspect. Jamie Davis, the PodMedic and the tech show. I mean, Daily Medic show. Well, PodMedic, what's the other? I'm going to get kicked in the butt by him here. Hang on. It's the Health Tech Weekly, excuse me. Jamie will be covering that along with his team. Hey, Facebook is tracking what you don't do on Facebook. Have you ever written a post on Facebook and got to the end and say, let me cancel that? Well, it appears Facebook is tracking what you don't do. And this is a little disturbing. We've all written in the heat of passion, we've written these notes that we decided after we've written them that we've calmed down that maybe it wasn't a good idea to press share, right? So apparently over the course, they did some surveying in July, and over the course of the 17 days, 71% of the users typed out a status, a comment, or both, but did not submit it. On average, Facebook users held back 4.52 statuses and 3.2 comments, but Google's storing that. So I guess every time you click a key that goes into Google's system, they log that. A little bit disturbing, isn't it? So how many of you guys think that Facebook is on the decline? How many of you are waiting for the next big thing? You know, is Facebook, are you kind of blah on Facebook? You know, I go on still to catch up with family members and so forth, but, you know, I don't do a lot of communicating on Facebook. You know, I'm on there at least once a day, but I'm not, you know, posting a lot of stuff. So how about you guys? Love to hear your feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com. All right. Arctic sea ice up from record low. There's a report out that autumn sea ice thickness is the biggest it's been in about 3 years. So this is big. I mean, over the last few decades, satellites have shown a downward trend in the area of the Arctic Ocean covered by ice. However, the actual volume of sea ice has proven difficult to determine because it moves around, and so its thickness can change. But they're saying that the increase this year is due to the growth of multi-year ice, which survives through more than one summer without melting, with only 10% growth of first-year ice. So thick multi-year ice indicates healthy Arctic sea ice cover. And this year's multi-ice is now on average about 20% or around 30 centimeters thicker than last year. So I guess that's our global warming for us, right? I don't think scientists can fully understand what's going on. I think things change so much that they have a very, very hard time having good models. I might be wrong there, but it just seems like a lot of contradictory information. This is an article that should just make all of you scratch your head a little bit. We know that the U.S. Copyright Office has not necessarily been real favorable for digital offerings. In other words, digital radio, stuff like Pandora. We all know that terrestrial radio folks, the folks that still transmit over the air, pay a lot less royalties than folks like Pandora and, you know, all those other sites that have music. So the U.S. Copyright Office now is meddling again, and they're supporting that artists can get paid multiple times for their same work. So basically, what this happens is if you are go out and you buy a piece of art, and let's say you buy it in an art show, and you pay $50 for the piece of art, you pay the artist for the art, you walk away, you got the painting, you put it on your wall, and then 20 years from now, that artist either hits it big or he dies or whatever it is, and the price of the art goes up. Well, of course, he can't collect if he's dead, but if the price of the art goes up, then what? If you sell that piece of art, they're wanting now to have it so that the artist can get paid again, can get a percentage of the sale again. It's a resale royalty that guarantees an artist later benefits from appreciation and price of his or her earlier works. They're actually supporting this. The U.S. Copyright Office is. When will it be when we'll actually own something, when the government won't come in and meddle? You know, it's just this. It's just like this thing with Disney. Once again, they're meddling. They're saying, oh, you own that piece of art, but if you sell it, you know, you bought it for $50 and you sell it for $1,000, you're going to have to give 10% or whatever back to the artist. First of all, good luck tracking that. Number two, this is just insane. It really, really is. But that's what they want to do. It makes you wonder who's in charge over there, doesn't it? A little space news. NASA is debating space station repairs or restocking. I think they're going to decide this coming Thursday. But they've got a semi-temporary fix that's kind of semi-temporary working. So they think that it's going to take 3 spacewalks would be needed to replace the pump. That's what happened last time. And they've got to decide whether they're going to launch the resupply Cygnus mission or if they're going to go ahead and go with the fix. So we'll see what happens here. But a decision will probably be coming this Thursday on that. So we got a few days wait. Remember the ozone? Ozone hasn't been in the news a lot. But scientists say the ozone has stabilized, but it's not yet shrinking. Of course, the ozone layer is largely over the South Pole and opens up every winter time. And there's always it forms over Antarctica. And every year for a while it was getting bigger and bigger, and they put a Montreal 74 or 84, the Montreal Accord, it basically banned CFCs and some other types of chemicals, and they say now that the ozone has stabilized. So we'll see where this leads, but it's not shrinking, but it's not getting any bigger. Congratulations to China. They got their first rover on the ground. I was flipping through some channels here, what was it, Sunday, and saw them actually. There was a Chinese news channel here on Time Warner that was free that I had opened up, and it actually watched them drive the rover off. I guess they're going to be doing like 90 days worth of science, whatever, but 40 years since we put something, a first wheeled tracks on the moon in 40 years. But good job the Chinese for getting it landed. Won't be too long. They're going to be eating our lunch here in the United States. Give them 20 years. They'll surpass us in the space department. There's an article over in Ars Technica talking about how hackers made mincemeat of the Department of Energy networks. Now, the Department of Energy is they do a lot of sensitive stuff. You know, the national labs run under the Department of Energy, like Sandia and Los Alamos and a variety of different, our labs work underneath, be part of DOE. But this Department of Energy network breach allowed hackers to download sensitive personal information, or called PII, for 104,000 people, and result of a decade-old patchwork of systems, some that hadn't installed critical security updates in years, according to a federal watchdog. So obviously the IT administrators over there were being very effective in their jobs, but apparently there was 354 database tables containing Social Security numbers that were encrypted. None of the 354 database tables containing Social Security numbers were encrypted. They're just in plain text. My God. That is simply incredible. So they figure it's going to cost Uncle Sam $6 or $7 million for identity theft tracking and a whole bunch of other stuff. So if you've ever went to the Department of Energy and visited a site, matter of fact, when I was active duty in the Navy, I visited a Department of Energy site and had to provide all kinds of personal information and my background information to get on board the facility. And I am sure that my data probably was out there. I was never informed that my data had been revealed. Hopefully not. But, you know, it just makes you go, holy smokes, where else? Where else is this going to happen? Sorry about that. I left you guys on the rover there. All right, new Mac Pros spotted at Apple Store in the UK, but it quickly was pulled from the shelves. It's only a short time, so we're expecting the Mac Pros to be rolled out here sometime this month. So maybe here this week sometime we'll see the new Mac Pros. Not that I can afford to buy one at this point, but sure going to be nice to go in and touch it and feel it and see how see what the performance level is. All right, over on allgov.com, Apple has deleted an app that helped Chinese citizens avoid government censorship. So, boy, you know, Apple is always being nice. And, of course, they kowtow to the Chinese government. They kowtow to their government censors. And basically, they made them pull an app that was called Free Weibo. This app was available on the Chinese version of Apple Online App Store, allowing users access to uncensored but government-blocked Free Weibo website, which for about a year has been documenting the messages censored. So anyway, they made him pull. You guys want to go ahead and shut the door? Thank you. My family has arrived home. So they're back. All right, next. So why should we help the, you know, Chinese citizens not be spied upon by their country, I guess. All right, there's a good article over on Time. And remember the dancing baby? It's a 6-year-old viral video. And the dancing baby was basically dancing to a Prince song. Prince's Let's Go Crazy. And basically, their record label did a demanded a takedown. Let me shut the door over here. Hang on. So that dancing toddler dancing to Prince Let's Go Crazy has been under basically a legal situation with the Electronic Frontier Foundation basically taking a case for them. And basically they've said, hey, this was a illegal takedown and loss of financial. And there's, you know, a variety of things that they're fighting against. And now this has been moved on to United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, which is preparing to hear the case. And Google, Twitter, Tumblr are all backing the dancing baby video. And basically, they've submitted briefs and so forth. So we'll see where this leads. But this is basically claiming fair use and safe harbor provisions and so forth. But time will tell where this goes with the court. It could go one way or the other. But a lot of things at stake here. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that this this court sees reason and fair use of this baby and, you know, the Prince music. But anyway, long story short, that case is finally coming to a head. And I'm sure at some point this will probably, if whatever the decision is, will probably get kicked for a Supreme Court review. All right, Amazon reportedly has purchased a mobile payment startup called GoPago, and it's working on a new project. GoPago is a startup that offers consumers an iOS or Android mobile app to prepay for goods before picking them up at a store, and retailers a point-of-sale system to process those orders and more. So it's unclear what Amazon's going to be using them for. But apparently they've got, maybe they're going to try to compete with Square or something like that, which would be kind of curious. I love Square. I use Square a lot. If any of you ever want to contribute to this show and use your credit card, you can email me, work that out, and we can actually do a Square processing for you to become an insider. But anyway, GoPago, P-A-G-O, is the company that Amazon bought. All right, don't want you guys to forget as well that DropCam is a sponsor here at Geek News Central. And I tell you, they've got a great, great product. I have had my DropCam now maybe 6 weeks or so. And my biggest thing that I have to remember here in the studio is to not walk in half naked with camera on. So the camera's on right now, probably part of the problem I'm having with the stream on YouTube. But, you know, it's fantastic. It gives an absolute beautiful picture. I can watch it on my Android or on my iOS device through their DropCam app. I can turn the speaker on. I can actually communicate back and forth with someone if they're in the room. I need to. I can Zoom. You know, perfect for nurseries. Perfect for if you got something going on in your house, you want to kind of observe, babysitter, driveway, anything, any place you can point this thing and have it plugged in, and it can connect via Wi-Fi. You can basically stream if you want to watch your cat or your dog. Really, it's absolutely fantastic product. I'm really impressed with the quality. Once you consider picking one up, it make a great, great Christmas present. Go over to bit.ly/TPN drop, bit.ly/TPN drop. Pick yourself up a drop cam now. Matter of fact, pick yourself up more than one. Pick yourself up two or three and have all sections of your house covered. And plus, it does a DVR function. You can get that as an added service. It'll actually record everything it's seeing in up to a year of video. So you can go back in the archives and look at stuff later. But anyway, thanks for DropCam for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, moving on to the next topic here. You know, I'm not too familiar with what's going on with Valve and their Steam machine. But Valve shipped 300 beta units to some lucky developers, and they've already posted teardown pictures and got a little bit deep into what they're doing with this. As much as I understand it, it's going to be a independent gaming platform. And so the console was shipped in a wooden box. And there's some unpacking videos that go along with it. Contained the test console, the Steam controller, a USB Steam OS recovery thumb drive, a removable Wi-Fi antenna module, and the appropriate cables and manuals instructions. The specs of the Steam machine include a 3.2 gigahertz quad-core Intel i5-4570 processor, 16 gigs of RAM, GeForce GTX 780 GPU with 3 gigs of video memory, an ASRock 787E ITX motherboard. So pretty impressive stats, all stuffed into a nice box. But you can definitely look at the teardown videos, and they actually show you know, the online store and everything. So those of you that are hardcore gamers out there, I'd love to hear from you. Tell me what Steam is going to mean to the space. I really would like to know. Again, I'm not a gamer, and I haven't followed this real close, but I know there's a lot of buzz about this. So drop me a line. Love to hear it. Geeknews@gmail.com is a place to email me your comments. A federal court today ruled against the NSA on their phone surveillance, but it is not quite what it seems. Everyone's been allotting, oh, great, great, the NSA got smacked down. But essentially, the judge prohibited the NSA from recording the metadata of folks who filed the lawsuit, holding that the NSA's actions likely violate the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution, the right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures. The case was originally filed in June by five people or customers of either Verizon, AT&T, or Sprint in the wake of Edward Snowden NSA spying revelations. And today's ruling has been hailed by some as a huge blow. But the judge did not force an injunction. The NSA does not have to change anything that they're doing right now, pending appeal. Now, it may not ever take effect if the appellate court disagrees with the judge's reasoning. Further, the effect of the preliminary injunction only lasts as long as the case does. So should the trial result in a verdict that the NSA did not violate the Constitution, any reasoning given to the contrary and a preliminary injunction ruling is essentially rendered moot. So we'll see where this goes. Honestly, I don't think it's going to change anything. Time will tell. But this is the first smackdown by a federal judge. Apparently, Twitter is working on an edit feature for tweets. That'd be cool. Oftentimes, I make a mistake. I'd like to change those. And so I think that's good news. So I'm pretty excited about that. Hey, those of you that live in St. Louis or San Diego, Sprint has launched an LTE in those areas, wrapping up 2013 with 300 4G cities. So, but there's actually a batch of 70 markets to receive its LTE network. Sprint filled in some of the big holes in metro coverage map, including San Diego, St. Louis. But mostly their rollouts were smaller cities like Starkville, Mississippi, Muskegon, Michigan, and Variety. So all the cities that rolled out, I'll have up in the show notes. But Sprint continues to try to basically improve their infrastructure. At the same time, in San Francisco, the city of San Francisco started offering free Wi-Fi, but currently only on Market Street. You know, San Francisco promised city-scale free Wi-Fi nearly 7 years ago. And they had tried to work a deal with AT&T, but that had fell through. But now the city's offering up to 50 megs of gratis wireless internet. But again, only along a 3-mile stretch of Market Street between Embarcadero and Castro Street. This is effectively a test run for the future park Wi-Fi project. Any wider coverage will depend on how well this initial experiment works out. Despite the limited coverage, this could be a boon to poor residents and tourists who would otherwise stay offline. Usually down in California, getting internet in the hotels and stuff is pretty good. Moving on here to an article on Gizmodo. They have a list of course, this is the end of the year. There's always this list that come out. But Gizmodo's best books of 2013. So there's a bunch of good ones here. I'll have the link up to that in the show notes for you guys to review. Of course, we know that Walt Mossberg is leaving Wall Street Journal. So the Wall Street Journal has announced its personal tech reviewing team, led by Jeffrey A. Fowler, will be the reviewer columnist taking over for Walt. He's a 13-year veteran of reporting and editing at the Journal, spent 7 years in the Hong Kong and Beijing covering everything from the Olympics to SARS. So he's going to be covering the tech. Also, Joanna Stern will be a reviewer columnist with an emphasis on video. Wilson Rotman will be the personal technology editor, overseeing reviews, personal tech news, and coverage strategy for the team. None of these names I know. Nathan Gillis will be the personal tech blogger and web producer, will help manage a new online section devoted to personal technology that will debut in February. So I guess he wrote for Gadget Lab and where else? I think that's it. That's all it says. So anyway, we'll see how this works out for Wall Street with Walt leaving. Microsoft has lost a top engineer. This article by Jeffrey over at Geek News Central. Jeffrey was at Ford last week. Of course, you and I talked about that I would have went if I'd had time in my schedule. But he got to talk directly to Ford CEO Alan Millay. And he didn't ask about Microsoft because that was covered in the press bombardment earlier. But I guess in the conversation somewhere come up was about talking about top engineer Blaise Arcis, who announced he is joining Google. And basically the handwriting's on the wall is there a bunch of top Microsoft people are going to bail while they're trying to find a CEO. So anyway, we'll see where this leads. But there are rumors that Ford CEO replacement, excuse me, that there's rumors that, as has been in the news lately, CEO Tony Bates and former Nokia CEO Stephen Elop are in the running. I would think at this point that it's probably going to be a Nokia guy. That would be my guess from everything I've heard. All right, how many of you fellas and ladies buy the soap and soft soap that basically has a little beads in it that is you use it for to rub on your face and your feet for exfoliated skin? A good brush, a good stiff brush works just as good as that exfoliated those little beads. But millions of microbeads from soap have contaminated the Great Lakes. And really this, you know, I've really, ever since I was a kid, growing up in Michigan, my parents paid really a lot of attention because the water level in Michigan was so high. I think our well comes in at like 40 feet or something. It's not very deep. So we were always very careful of what we put down the sink, what type of soaps we used. We made sure we had biodegradable soap. You know, it was really, we watched that stuff really close, and it gets followed into what I do here. I'm real kind of picky on that type of stuff from ecology standpoint. But apparently, Americans buy products containing 573,000 pounds of these microbeads every year. Incredibly, a single tube of Johnson & Johnson facial scrub, Clean and Clear, for example, contains 330,000 beads. So that's just in that small jar, and these things are so small. When they wash down the drain and accumulate in oceans, they can be filtered by the sewage department and they get put right into the ocean or into lakes. And so there's a move afoot to try to find a replacement and over the next 5 years to stop using these things. So there's some apps out there that will help you determine whether or not the product you're buying has these microbeads in it. So I encourage you to, it's something we got to watch out for. And that's just one of many things. But ladies and fellas, as you're out buying product, you can scan the app and it'll tell you if you have to stay away from that or not. So I have the link up in the show notes to that. Beyonce had a, boy, oh boy, I think 600,000, she sold 600,000 copies of her album. It was released exclusively on iTunes. And it's pissing off the retailers. Target is refusing to sell Beyonce's new album due to iTunes' first launch. And they said, we don't want it. We don't want your album. So anyway, this is a little retaliation for not providing it to the retail chain. I find it kind of curious here because Target better get on board. Things are going digital and artists are being smart. Amazon recorded its original TV content in 4K ultra high definition, according to online giant's TV production arm, Amazon Studios. So this is going to be big. Of course, no one has 4K sets yet, so they'll shoot it in 4K, then shrink it down to HD and all the other levels. Keep being told, you got to go 4K, got to go 4K. I'm not going 4K. It's just too much, and it's going to be many years for many of us have 4K televisions in our homes. Good article on BBC, and it talks about crowdfunding, and it's kind of some good points in here that's kind of related to our crowdfunding effort that we had. And I agree with a comment on this article in the BBC talking about crowdfunding. Some entrepreneurs say it's got so competitive that there are now so many projects listed screaming for attention that it's become very difficult for small players to get noticed. And that's what we were. We were a small player, very, very hard. Had a lot of people asking me to pay. Give us $1,000. We'll promote your crowdfunding effort. And we never paid anybody to do that. But unless you have this big PR machine, it's really, really a challenge to do crowdfunding events and get enough groundswell to really to cover everything. How many of you have Windows XP machines that are having trouble updating? Or in other words, they sit there and they just like, you boot them up and it takes an hour for them to get running. Well, they know there's a problem. And Microsoft's trying to fix it, but in the last two updates, they've made it worse. So if your Windows XP machine is being a little sluggish on boot up or restart, be patient. A fix should be coming. A link will be up in the show notes. You can check it out on how to deal with it, which really at this point, you just got to live with it. And don't reboot your machine. Good article over on Extreme Tech. Lights out for 40-watt and 60-watt incandescent bulbs. So that's kind of a not fully true, but basically what's going on is that finally they're going to, by the July of 2014, all traditional incandescent bulbs are no longer going to be allowed to be sold. So go out and buy your final supply now if you want them. But if you want an incandescent bulb, there probably will be some available at some point, but they have to be more efficient to meet the energy standards that's outlawed, that was laid out in the Clean Energy Act. But I'm hearing the LED bulbs are going to be coming out at CES, will be as low as $10 a piece. So, I like the LED light better than the CFLs from a color standpoint. I just think it's more closer to what the incandescent color was. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. How many of you carry around one of those squeeze bottles of soap, the antibacterial soap? Well, the FDA has scrutinized antibacterial products for hormonal disruption and bacteria resistance. My grandmother said that a kid ain't right if he doesn't eat 5 pounds of dirt by the time he's five. Everyone today is so neat freak. You know, I'll be straight up. I grew up in the country. I was raised on the farm. We had a farm. We had animals. We had a cash crop. My dad had a construction company. I would go work with my dad on the construction company. And to wash my hands, I'd pour a little water out of my water jug and wash up the best I can, get them halfway clean before we ate. That was. You know, we didn't have soap and water. It was out in the middle of a job site, right? And, you know, I always would come in working from doing farm work or whatever. You'd wash up, but you're clean from here down. You know, from your elbow down is basically. But otherwise, you're kind of disgusting. I'm gonna be straight up. I think people are just too. They get freaked out and they. I see kids get a little dirty. All the parents swoop them right up. And they got to clean them right up and get one of those antibacterial wipes. And I'm just like, please let the kid just get dirty. And then when he gets done, it isn't going to hurt him, you know? So I think this is the reason why people are so allergic to stuff these days. And I think this antibacterial soap has a lot to do with it. They're basically saying you have to prove to us that soap and water, your antibacterial product is better than soap and water. Soap and water is very effective. So they have to now, over the next 60 or 90 days, they have to produce proof that their product's actually better or relabel. The rules will be coming, but I think this is well overdue. I'm not a big fan of these big squeeze. You know, when we go to CES, we have them, but I much prefer to find a sink and soap and wash my hands instead of using that stuff. I really do. We use it. That's probably the one time I do use it a lot. But other than that, I prefer soap and water. I just feel my hands are cleaner using that. But anyway, I don't know. What do you guys think? Geeknews@gmail.com. Love to hear your feedback. Hey, Apple has released OS 10.9.1. with Mail, Safari, and VoiceOver fixes. I 240 meg download. I updated two machines this evening before the show. So be aware that is updates available. AT&T has got a patent that was awarded to them in mid-November. Describes methods through which internet service providers may track privately related habits of customers and assign them a subscriber reputation score, which could be used to limit access to file sharing or P2P sites, peer-to-peer sites, for repeat pirating offenders. In other words, they want to look at your data. They want to know what you're doing. Boy, I tell you, AT&T, I think, is every time I hear about them, it's all about what they're going to do to screw over their customers. The Army has shot a laser that was killing drones and incoming mortar rounds. So very cool. And it's all mounted on a truck. It's called the HELMD. And it proved itself in tests last week by shooting down 9 incoming mortars in a series of UAVs. Pretty cool. Cut the tails right off them. That thing must have been, that laser must be like, wow. But anyway, cool that it was able to basically kill the mortar rounds. Now, if you want a little laugh, I'm going to have a link up in the show notes tonight. The folks over at College Humor put together a video called Google Blackmail. And it's my favorite video of the day. We know that Google just bought a military robot company. Why, I don't know. But anyway, this prompted, I guess, the College Humor folks to put together a video. So I have a link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. You'll get a good laugh. Hey, finally, data. You know, a lot of us have a lot of data all over the place. And I've been exploring different ways to archive stuff. And PC World had a great article about how to archive files so they'll stay around for years. And one of the products that they recommended in the article was something I was not at all familiar with. It's called M-Disk. And M-Disk is a DVD disc, a Blu-ray disc, that they claim will last like 1,000 years. So you pay $29.99 for a 10-pack of these M-Disk. But they claim 1,000 years the disc will last. It won't deteriorate. And they have a permanent storage solution. So anyway, we'll have to see how this works. But anyway, any of you familiar with M-Disk? It says your life engraved in stone. So very, very cool. Link will be up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. All right, kind of wraps me up here for content tonight. Let me see if we had any emails come in. It's been kind of slow on the email side. I don't think you guys love me anymore. Let me look here. Yeah, last show, no email from the last show. So, tis what it is. Hey, thanks everyone for being here. I know we've had a number of people come in and become insiders over the last week. Nice to see those nice donations come in. Some of you have done one-time donations. I really appreciate that. And consider becoming an insider by going to geeknewscentral.com/insider. Don't forget, we're going to check out our new sponsor, Gazelle. And definitely don't forget Dropcam and GoDaddy. We want to thank them for being sponsors here of the show and helping the wheels keep on moving. And really, if you're getting ready to turn in a device or you want to sell a device, get some cash in your pocket. And really, this is going to come in handy after the new year. So don't forget me. Get your Christmas present. You're going to get a new tablet or you're going to get a new phone. You know, whatever electronic device you get new, if you don't hand me down that other device that you've had, go get some money for it on Gazelle, okay? And follow the link that's at Geek News Central to do that. And I would be much obliged. Well, that's going to wrap me up here. I want to thank you all for being here. And we'll see everyone on Thursday for a regular scheduled time, regular show. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.